Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church, Warrensburg, Missouri, where it is our goal to bring people to a genuine and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this podcast will be a blessing and encouragement to you.
Well, it's good to be here with you this morning. Would you join me in a word of prayer before we walk through God's Word this morning? Heavenly Father, our King and our Lord, we are grateful for all the ways that you have loved us and lavished your grace and your mercy upon us. Well, thank you, God, for this time this morning as we have to come and to open up and look into your word. And we pray this morning that as we do, that our hearts would be open. We pray, God, that the eyes of our hearts, God, would see you. God, as we look at a passage that's very familiar to us, my prayer is that your Holy Spirit would challenge us and change us through your word. We love you. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Well, my name is Jeff Gray, and I am very excited to be here with you today. This has been a day that we have had circled on our calendar for a while now, and man, just looking forward to the opportunity to possibly come and be a part of what's going on here at FBC. And as we've been praying, I've been praying over the last several months about what would we do and what do I want to preach on and talk about, and what continued to resonate in my heart is really what's been resonating in my heart for the last probably 10 to 12 years, and that is, what is God's actual call on our lives as individuals and as the church? And so we know ultimately it's to bring glory to God, it's to magnify God in all that we do, and everything we do, we want to bring glory to Him, but what are we actually called to do? As those who believe in Jesus, what are we supposed to be doing? Like, is this it? Do we get together and we look around on a Sunday morning and we say, this is it, alright, we've done what God has called us to do. Or is there more to it? And so what I want us to look at this morning is really one of Jesus' last words to us and to his disciples of, this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm calling you to go and do. And so today I want to look at just the call of the church. But understand that when I say the call of the church, I don't mean First Baptist Warrensburg as the organization. I mean the call of the church is all those who profess Christ as Lord. And so there's no separation there. And so as what God calls the church to do, he also and ultimately calls every believer to do the same thing. So this morning, let's look at this passage. We're going to look at the call of the church. But before we do, I want to us to understand the motivation for why the call for the church is so important. So just look with me. If you have your Bible, you can look at verse 18, 19 and 20. We'll just kind of reread these together this morning. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So it's easy for us to get caught up in this and say, okay, go make disciples of all nations. Great. God hasn't called me to go anywhere, so I'm kind of off the hook here. Right? It's easy for us to read this and say, oh, well, that's nice. It's a nice sentiment. We can put it on a bumper sticker. We can put it in our notebooks. We can put it in our car. We can write a mural on our wall at the house. We can say, okay, go and make disciples. But what does it really mean? How do we actually live and flesh that out? Well, before we get into that, we have to understand the motivation for the call that God gives us. And it's found in verse 18 when he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And we have to understand this morning that all authority is from Jesus. All authority is in Christ. All dominion over all of creation is found in him. And so this morning, as we give this call and we say, this is what God has called us to do, this is what we're called to go and make disciples of all nations, understand it's not just some guy that you may or may not have met coming and preaching and looking forward to maybe being a part of this church in a position. It's not something from me, and it's not something from a Sunday school classroom, but it is from Almighty God, whose authority is over all. His death and resurrection prove that authority. I heard someone once say that when you rise from the dead, you get to make the rules. And I feel like that's a really fair argument. right? Everyone, we all vie for a position of authority. And really, a lot of things that we struggle with in our life, in the culture right now, in the church culture right now, a lot of things come down to who really ultimately has the authority. Is the authority in Christ, or is the authority found in what we want, or in what feels good, or what is nice? And so ultimately it says, what does it look like to submit under the authority of Jesus? And understand, if we miss the fact that that Jesus has all the authority, then we miss the whole passage. If we don't start with and understand that we're called to submit under Christ, you will not obey the one you do not submit to. If you do not submit under Christ, you will not obey Him. And Scripture backs that up. We look here in Colossians 1. He is also the head of the church, of the body. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might have come first place in everything. Romans 14:9, Christ died and returned to life for this, that He might be Lord over both the dead and the living. And then Philippians 2:9-11 reminds us, for this reason God highly exalted Jesus and gave Him the name that is above all names, so at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus has the right to command and control all of our movement, all of our actions, and give us any command that He calls us, that He wants to. His authority is over all of us, but not just us, but over every created thing. His authority gives Him the right to command us. And so when He tells you and I, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, it's not just a nice warm sentiment. It's not a, man, what will go really good in a Christmas card? Or what will be a nice thing you can put on the wall of a church? No, it's, I have all the authority, and under the authority I have, here is what you need to go do. Here's what I've called you to go and do. And I said this last service, I just want to remind us, if we claim to follow Christ, yet we're not submitted under Christ, we are not following Him. Just hear it again. If we claim to follow Christ and yet we're not submitted under Him, then we are not following Him. There's a big difference. And so as we jump into the call of Christ on our lives, the question I want to ask you is just very simply this. What area in your life are you not submitted under the authority of Jesus? Where in your life will you say, man, God has this part, He has this part, but not really this part? Where am I not fully submitted? Because if we're not fully submitted, we're not going to follow Him. So as we understand that where the authority comes from to make this commandment, then we see what the call is. So what is the call for every single believer and every single church across the entire world? Verse 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. God's call on our lives is to go and make disciples. And just understand, God's call and will for your life is not to attend more services. Although I think you should. You should be here, right? You should be at a church. You should be in community. You should be studying God's Word together. But church attendance is not what God has called us to. He didn't save you out of your sin so that you could sit in a pew more often. He didn't save you out of your sin and send you on a mission so that you could be a nicer person or make a better living or have 3.5 kids and a white picket fence. He didn't do that. He didn't save you to have a nice family, to make a nice living, or to raise the kids that you want to raise. But God's expectations and call on our life is to go and make disciples. And just as Christ's authority is all over the earth, so is the command to make disciples. So in Greek here, this word for make disciples really points to four things: to be taught, to teach, to disciple, and to instruct. So it kind of gives us this wide variety of learning is where we get the idea here from. The main verb in the passage is to make disciples. It's not to go, it's not to baptize, it's not to teach, but it is to then go and make disciples. And so that's important for us because we have to understand if it's all about just going, that we can say we can do enough short-term mission trips or spend enough weeks on a field somewhere where we say, man, we have done what God has called us to do. Right? Or if we say it's all about baptizing, we can say, well, man, as long as I give out enough tracts, then I'm doing what God's called me to do. Or if it's just about teaching, then it's like, well, man, I need to buy more commentaries and buy more books, which are all helpful things. But then that becomes, this is what God has called us to do. And then what happens is the church and us as Christians choose one or two camps. We're either evangelists or we're disciple makers. The reality of it is it's all together. We're called to go and make disciples. And so we see here a few ways that that is done. So as we look in this passage, make disciples becomes the main verb. But what the parcels that come and say, and they point back to it, is three things. The first is this, that a disciple is always going. He says, go therefore. Now we can sometimes read this and say, well, that's good. I'm not called to go to Africa, so I don't have to really go make disciples. I'm not called to go anywhere. I'm just called to be here. And a lot of times we can say, oh man, we don't always want to go. But the idea of the word here in Greek is not just be going somewhere, but it really could be translated as you are going, make disciples. So as you are going, whatever you're doing, make disciples. And so we ask the question, then what does it look like to, as you are going, make disciples? What does it mean to do this as you just go throughout your life? Well, a while ago, my wife and I, my kids, Landry is 13 now, she was about 6 or 7, and we went to the happiest place on earth. Those of you who giggled have been there, and you know that is a lie. If you have ever been to Disney, Land or World, you know it is not the happiest place on earth unless you are a kid and have no responsibility. Then it is happy, but for everyone who takes their kids at the end of the week, you're just ready to go home and you just need a re-cleansing from Jesus because it has been a long week. And so we were out there on vacation. Our last day there, we go, we're sitting in this, I don't remember the name of the restaurant, but I was looking the most forward to it because they make those little Mickey waffles. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, good. Some of you are nodding. The rest of you, you've already lost out of this story. It's fine, okay? And so they had these really good hash browns I really wanted and then these Mickey waffles. And this is what I was looking forward to. So we're like 3 or 4 days, last day of the trip. We're getting in there. And I'm just like, I just need enough sugar to get me home. And I just want to go home. I want to sleep in my bed. I don't want to be around screaming, yelling kids. I don't want to talk to my kids. I don't want to talk to my wife. I just want to go home. It's just been a long time. This is not the happiest place on earth. It is a lie. And we're sitting around and we're eating. And as I'm biting into my waffles, it's like the last savoring moment that I can enjoy before we head out. And my daughter, who's about 6 or 7, looks at me and she says, "Hey, Dad, you think those people at that table over there know Jesus?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I just want to eat my waffle. I don't know if they know Jesus or not. I've never met the guys, you know." And I said, "Oh, baby, I don't know." And she said, "We should go tell them." Now, what do you tell a 6 or 7-year-old that is pulling you out of your comfort zone to go across the aisle to share Jesus with a table full of people? And all the adults have the same look on my face. That is just, I just want to go home. I'm tired. And so I'm sitting there, and I don't know if you've ever been in this spot, and I start getting like clammy, and my hands are shaking, and I'm like, "You are better than this. You have a master's of divinity. You have shared the gospel hundreds of times. You have led many people to the faith. You've got people that you put into ministry. Like, this is a no-brainer. This is so easy." And I'm like, "Why am I fighting this so much?" And part of me is thinking, "I just want to be on vacation. And now I just want to go home from vacation." And there's my daughter. "So why don't we go over and tell them about Jesus?" And I said, first time in my life that I've been fully speechless, and I don't know what to say. And I said, "Well, we can go over there, and you could talk to them, you know. I mean, no one's going to punch a 6-year-old, right?" And so I said, "Well, we can go over there if you'd like to." And so, Saved by Mickey. Mickey comes over. And they're all taking pictures and sign autographs and stuff. And I'm like, "Okay, well, when Mickey leaves, we'll go over there." And I'm like, "Lord, please let Mickey stay for as long as possible." And so Mickey comes over to our table, and I'm like, "Thank you, Jesus, for Mickey." Only time I've ever prayed that. And so he signed autographs, and we're doing this. So we get done with Mickey, and so I'm like, now I can feel the pressure welling up inside of me. And I'm like, we got to go talk to Sonny about Jesus. And they're going to be so mad at me that I came over. They just want to go home too. And I just want to go home. And we look over and the family was gone. And we kind of forgot about it. But all the way home, I thought, how is this 6-year-old 100 times more spiritual than I am? Like, here is my 6-year-old daughter completely grasping the idea that as I go, I'm called to make disciples. And here I am, seminary graduate, been a pastor for over a decade, and I'm thinking, I don't know, I just, one more waffle and I'll be okay. And it really began to just be a catalyst for me as we walked away from there and thinking, this is what we're called to do. Everywhere that we go. And I would tell you this morning, I think we can prove from Scripture, and I would just encourage you, I think we can make the point of this. I don't know what your job is, doctor, teacher, principal, pilot. I don't know what your job is. But if you're a follower of Jesus, let me tell you what your occupation is. To go and make disciples of all nations. It doesn't matter what your vocation is. It doesn't matter how you make your money. The moment that you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are now called to be in the business and the occupation of going and making disciples of all nations. So you say, okay, well, what do we do with this? Well, you have certain gifts and certain opportunities, and you live in certain neighborhoods, and you have certain friends, and you have certain jobs, and you have people at your job that you like, and people at your job that you don't like. Right? And if there's no one at your job you don't like, you're probably that guy. Okay? Just being honest with you. Right? But you know, you've been put in a job, it's not your occupation. But a way for you to make money, but more importantly, it becomes your go. So if you're a doctor, guess what? That's not your job. Your occupation is to make disciples of all nations. The way you get to do it is for God using your gifts to be a doctor or to be a teacher or to whatever it is that you do. Be a pastor. This is the go. And so wherever you go, wherever you live, as you are going, make disciples of all nations. Let's just be clear. This is the call of God. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is your call. This is not my call because I'm a pastor. It is your call because you're a believer. And this is what we're called to do, and this is who we're called to go to. And if you're a parent, just listen up. You are called to go home. You have a family and you have kids who desperately need to see Jesus. And they need Jesus more than they need a scholarship to college. They need Jesus more than they need to know math. They need Jesus more than they need to know anything else that's in life. Those things are all important. But you have been called to your house. As you go, make disciples. So if your path leads you at home, that's where you go. If your journey in life leads you to a job, that's where you go. If you live in a dorm room, that's where you go. That's God's call on your life. You're not at a college campus on accident. You didn't say, oh man, this is the only place that would accept me. No, it's where God was pulling you. So now you go and now this is your mission field. So the question I would just ask us is my daily mindset missional? Do I wake up in the morning saying, God, wherever you'll lead me to go today, help me to make disciples in every place that I go. So part of making disciples is going or as you are going. The second part of it, obviously, is this idea of evangelism. A disciple is committed to sharing the gospel. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think Jesus says this to show the importance of believers' baptism. But I believe he also says this to remind us that, you know, baptism is an outward sign of what's happened on the inside. That there's an inside change where the Holy Spirit has come and changed our life. And that Jesus has died for our sins and now we've walked in a relationship with him. So when we're called, the call to baptize here is a call to evangelism. A call to go and to share our faith and make no bones about it. Christianity is a missional faith. It's not a sit back and watch. It is a missional faith. In fact, the very nature of God demands this. God is love and God is unwilling for any to perish. Look at 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord does not delay in his promise, as some understand delay. But is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And the reason it's important is because out of all the authority in all the world is in Jesus. And Jesus says, go and make disciples. go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Jesus' death on the cross was for the whole world. If his children will share his nature and his story, they will tell the good news of Jesus. If we have been saved, the only reaction that we can have, the only response we can have is to go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus to those around us. Again, if we're submitted under the leadership of Jesus, then we are focused and prayerful at all times, being missional in all that we do, we have to share. St. Francis of Assisi is given this quote, and it was like an anthem when I was in high school and college, and it was, you know, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. And I think that's a great quote, but over the last decade, I've like, man, I hate this quote. Because yes, we should live our lives with that, but it's given us an excuse to never proclaim the gospel. It's given us an excuse to say, you know what, I'll just live a good life, and hopefully someone will ask and say, well, why are you the way you are? And you say, well, it's because of Jesus. And then people are like, oh, great. And, you know, rainbows come and unicorns and fountains go up. And you're like, man, oh, look, we'll come to Christ. Like, we have to proclaim the gospel with our lips. We have to share the Christ. We have to proclaim him. We have to evangelize so that we have an opportunity now for people to know who Jesus is. The problem is that fear often gets in the way, and we could spend 2 or 3 sermons talking about the fears that get in our way. And what I would just say about the fear is this. Whatever the fears are that keep us from walking in obedience under the authority of Jesus and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus, whatever those fears are, if they keep us from proclaiming Christ, then we have now submitted to the authority of that fear. If we submit to the authority of Jesus, we can walk in the midst of that fear. But understand, the church or the Christian that neglects missions is in complete disregard for the explicit orders of our commander. For us to say, it's not for me to share the gospel, I'll wait for someone else to do it. We have decided we no longer desire to follow him. We don't want to be under his command. We don't want to be under obedience under him. And there's grace and there's mercy when we fail. But this is what God has called us to do. So we see part of it is going. We see part of it is proclaiming the truth. But also, part of it is this idea of teaching. So a disciple is also committed to teaching others. He says, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Now that seems like a lot, right? You should teach everything Jesus ever said. Well, how are we supposed to know everything Jesus ever said? All right, we got to know, we got to study God's word. The focus on making disciples is not just on evangelizing and making converts. Remember, this passage doesn't say, go therefore as you want and make converts, but go and make disciples. The idea here is a past tense verb acting in a future tense way, which means this. This is an assignment that has happened, is happening, and will continue to happen. Therefore, make disciples who make disciples. That's the idea. The idea is we're supposed to teach others so that they can not just know, but they can go and teach. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2 says, you therefore, my son, Paul talking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's our call. The pattern is very simple. Learn, model, teach. Learn, model, teach. And then we equip people to continue to go and do the same thing. In fact, the term for term disciple was actually what believers were called in the beginning. In fact, Christian was a derogatory term given to them as like, look, they think they're little Christs. Which Christians said, yeah, we'll take that. All right? But disciple was how people referred to one another. Oh, are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you someone who follows them? And the term for disciple or even apprentice was very different than we see now today. In fact, with Pharisees, when they have disciples who would follow them, a phrase that was used a lot, they would say, may the dust of your rabbi cover your face. Which sounds probably way better in Hebrew than it does in English. It just sounds weird in English, right? May the dust of your rabbi be all over you. Well, that sounds odd. I don't know. But the idea is that you walk so closely with the rabbi, behind him, mimicking him, following him, that whatever his feet kicked up got all over you. And so as we look at what it means to follow Jesus, As we look at what it means to make disciples, it's walking in community with people and we can help train them. We can proclaim the gospel as we're going and then teach them to know God's word and then teach them how to continue to go and help other people know who God is. As a follower of Jesus, as a disciple, there should always be someone that we're pouring into and someone that's pouring into us. So who is your Paul that's pouring into you, and who is your Timothy that you're pouring into? As we go and make disciples, this is part of what we're being called to do. So we see this and we say, man, this is a hard thing to do. Everywhere you go, as you're going, make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them everything I've commanded you to do. So all Jesus has asked you to do is this. Teach everything he ever did, go to every nation, and do it all the time. So this is an easy command, right? It's easy. We just makes it very, very simple for us. Well, the way we can continue to do it is how he ends everything in this passage with a promise. And the promise is God's presence. And remember, he says in verse 20, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus just isn't just in the midst of our gathering. He is with us, especially when we're scattered out and witness. You say, well, I don't know what I'll say. That's why the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Because you may say things that are not very good. I do it all the time. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of me to say, okay, here's where I need you to go. Here's where I want you to go. The presence of God lives inside of me. We see this really modeled in Paul's life in Acts chapter 18. In verse 1, Paul comes to a city. And verse 8, he's now baptizing people. And Paul was teaching the word in verse 11. And then verses 9 to 10, he faced some hardship. And Jesus reminds him, don't be afraid, for I am always with you. If you are a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Not like a trinket. Not like a cross necklace that you're like, as long as I have this on, I'm good. But the Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus says, and I will be with you always. So do you and I walk in missional confidence, knowing that God is always with us? One of my favorite quotes I have ever heard from David Platt in his book, Follow Me, he says this, when people ask me, they often ask me why they don't feel close to Jesus anymore. Has that ever happened to you? They say, why do I not feel close to Jesus anymore? And David says, my first response is to ask them, are you making disciples? Because the promise to be with us is directly tied to making disciples. Are we walking in obedience to what God has called us to do because he promises to walk alongside of us, with us? This is the call of the church. The call of the church is very, very, very easy for us to understand, harder for us to do. But the call of the church is very simple. As you are going, make disciples who will make disciples. It's not just our church's goal. It's not just the church's mantra. It's not just the church's what they're supposed to do. It's not just their role. It's yours. If you're a follower of Jesus and you've placed your faith and trust in him and committed to submit under his authority, guess what? You are called to go and make disciples who make disciples. Just to kind of close this out, I think very often we have a hard time being disciple makers. And so I think a lot of times what we tend to do is we become one of three things. A spectator, a cheerleader, or a disciple. And we can go back and forth, but we become one of the three. God has not called you to be a spectator. I was told not to talk about football until after the vote. But I'm from Dallas. Go Chiefs. It's cool. We're cool. It's all right. Easy. Everybody's turned on me already. Sorry, Chris. Hot, but Cowboys Stadium, which we refer to as Jerry World, there's about 100,000 people who can get in there. And I was thinking and we've been to a couple of games, my son and I, and it's really cool. I mean, it is state of the art. You're like, man, this is awesome, the dome, and everything is just super cool. There's bands playing in the lobby. I mean, it is cool. And so we're sitting there, and we were looking at all this, and I was thinking one day while we're there, isn't this kind of like the church? There's 100,000 people watching 100 people play. Don't we kind of do that? Sometimes we can get in our Christian faith and we say, well, we'll just go. We'll just kind of sit and soak up and it'll be really good. But we forget that God has called each and every one of us to go and to actually do what He's called us to do. Are you today, are you here and you say, you know, I'm a spectator. And I am a consistent spectator. I come to every game. I have the same spot that I sit in every single time. But I just like to watch everyone else do it. God has not called us to that. God has not called us to be a cheerleader. Cheering someone on with no intention of ever getting involved. Unless we forget, cheerleaders don't typically put pads on. All right, we went to the UCM game for a little bit yesterday. After 52-0 at halftime, we decided to go do some other things. But it was awesome. They blown that cannon and, man, whoever that guy is needs like a raise after the game yesterday. But think about it. There was no point in time in that game where they thought, you know what, let's put the cheerleaders in. Let's pull the band members out, put some pads on them, let them go out there. It never happened because cheerleaders like to encourage, but they don't want to get involved in the game. Are we that way? Yeah, let's get more pastors. Hey, let's hire this disciple guy. Hey, let's hire a family guy. Let's do all this so they can get more work done for the kingdom. That's what cheerleaders do. But God has called us to make disciples. If you proclaim Christ, your first and foremost calling is to go and make disciples. This morning, as we close, and as we look forward to joining, Lord willing, in with the next season in our lives and the next season in the lives of First Baptist, I just want to ask you the question, which of these three people are you? This morning, are you a spectator? Are you a cheerleader? Or are you a disciple? And there is mercy and grace when we have chosen to be the other two things. But God calls us under His authority to follow Him. Would you this morning submit under the authority of Christ, knowing that He will walk alongside you and with you, and choose to live our lives as disciple makers of all nations? Lord, we are overwhelmed of all the people that You would use, of all the things that You would do in our life, of all the ways that You would use to proclaim Your gospel, to bring glory to You, of all the things that You would do. God, You choose to use us, and You choose to call us out on mission. God, I pray this morning that our lives would reflect a full submission under Your authority, under Your lordship, and under Your leadership. Help us to be men and women who desperately love You and walk in obedience to what You've called us to do. And help us to get off of the sidelines as spectators, to get out of the cheer section, and to be committed to going and making disciples of all nations. God, forgive us and give us grace and mercy where we have failed You. But knowing those failures don't define where we're going to go. God, that You hold our future, not our failures. So God, where we make mistakes, where we don't do what You've called us to do, I pray You'd forgive us, but then Holy Spirit, empower us to walk in obedience to where You would call us to go. And I pray, God, that through the disciples in this place, that many people in Warrensburg and around the world would place their faith and trust in You. Help us to be disciple makers. We pray all these things in Your name.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is intended to be a supplement to your local church and cannot replace your regular involvement there. If you are not currently part of a local church, we would be happy to assist you in finding one. Simply contact us through our website, www.fbcwberg.org.